Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
My name is Bill Cundiff.
Really?
Yeah.
Do tell.
Yeah.
What else do you know, Bill?
I don't have a sponsor.
Sing it.
Yeah, well, one of several sponsors, but our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery.
No, I really wanted you to sing it.
What? What? Pape Machinery is our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, just off I-5. Give them a call, 226-9226. They've got everything you want in John Deere, Honda, Steel. They got it in stock. Go up and see them. Or get them on the web, papemachinery.com.
Ta-da!
There you go.
So, there we go. I was having a little computer problem. Hey, if you haven't been keeping up with the Arizona audit, well, shame on you. I know that the media hasn't really covered it very well. They are starting to now, though. So I think we're at the part where you know the old phrase. You know, when you're over the target, it's when you start getting flack. So
yeah, we're rolling into 7 months since the election. I think it's time to kind of put some cards on the table.
So our friend Dr. Lyle Rapacki and our other friend Claire Lopez, they are going to come on with us. We have been. We keep posting that we're doing an update on Arizona. We've been doing this, I think, for a month. And every single week, it's like, oh, boosted a week. This is the week. It's happening. We're actually going to find out what's going on from the people who are doing it. So I know that everybody worries they're going to get some bad intel from the media or whatever. But I've found that the greatest way to get good information is talk to the people who are actually involved.
Yep.
Pretty handy. Turns out we already knew them. So you can find all that at wethepeopleradio.us. And on that page, we've got posted connections to Dr. Lyle. We've got a mailing address for you. We've got the links to the videos and the podcast that he does with Prescott E-News. So that's on there for you. So we'll talk about those things. But if you don't have anything to write with, it's just all right there for you.
Go to the website.
Go to the website.
Read the website.
Be the ball.
There you go.
Different movie. So our friend Dr. Lyle Rapacki is a private sector intelligence, behavioral analysis, and threat assessment specialist. Totally leads right into election buffoonery. Those are all good prerequisites. And since June of 2010, he's been providing selected members of the Arizona legislature intelligence briefings on border security and threats to Arizona sovereignty. And we've done several shows with him, bunches of shows, I should say, about that particular topic, which is awesome. He's the author of dozens of white pages, bulletins, and briefings, many of which have received distribution to and by local, state, and federal law enforcement, intelligence, and public safety agencies nationally. So I'm not sure what's happening with Sentinel Intelligence Services, but he does own that, and need to find out if that's just had to go on break because he's been so darn busy with this other thing. We're going to get the full scoop on that. And then our friend Claire Lopez, she's the founder and president of Lopez Liberty LLC with a mission to alert and educate Americans on a range of national security issues, international as well as from the Islamic movement, Muslim Brotherhood, and collaborators among the ranks of the Marxists, communists, and a whole bunch of them are in this country. Spoiler alert.
She's probably very busy right now. Lots of material to look over.
Oh, man. So from 2014 to 2020, she served as the vice president for research and analysis at the Center for Security Policy. And we have not talked to Claire for a while.
I know. It's been a while.
And she's got a really long bio. She did CIA stuff, and she's on the Citizens Commission on Benghazi, and she's an advisor to EMP Act America. Claire's a busy bee. These guys both are. So let's get to them and find out what they want to tell us today, because we didn't actually plan this as per usual. We just kind of let our guests come on and tell us stuff. So, yous guys, where do you want to start today?
Well,
the sky's
thank
the limit.
You both. It's great being back with you. It's been a while, and I know that you've tried to get both of us on, and Claire's been gracious to defer to me, and I've been screwing things up because of this audit. What looks like I can do one day, all of a sudden in the middle of the night, I can't do the next day because I get a phone call and there's a problem. So thank you both, all of you, and my adopted sister, Claire. Claire and I have known each other a long time. She hasn't aged, I have, but she hasn't. She looks and she's very, very smart. And we've talked together, I think, Claire, I think we've briefed on several occasions together, and she's really the real deal. She's not a desk jockey. She's worked the field. She's an operator, so she's what she has to say today, and her perspectives are very well worth taking notes on because she has a unique perspective on things.
It's interesting. The first time we met both of you, you were on together.
Yeah.
Back in
2016. Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, back in 2016.
My little brother there is taller than me, but younger. It is being very generous, but it's true. We have known each other for a long, long time and go back in the same kinds of things, though. You know, conservative circles, and trying to bring clarity to what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and just in case people thought Claire might be a slouch, I'll spoiler alert the end of her bio. She completed Marine Corps Officer Candidate School in Quantico, Virginia, before declining a military commission to join the CIA. options.
Gee, what to do.
So she might know some stuff. Or she might be able to rip her head off, I'm not sure which.
She does to me every now and then. She balls me out.
Claire can be her enforcer.
let me see. The audit, let me explain, first of all, for proper notification, I'm not involved with the audit. I don't do the audit. I have nothing. They won't allow me around the computers. Everybody who knows me won't allow me around the computers.
Are you kidding me? You always have to call and ask me what time it is before we do a show. Please don't let him near the computers.
I was just on the phone to Claire going, I can't punch this number in. And on my I got these darn gadgets.
I told him, the machines know, and you have to be nice to them, and you have to talk gently to them,
yeah.
And they hear you.
They're like dogs. Know. They can smell fear.
Oh, they do. And they go, oh, here comes Dr. Lyle. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no.
Lock it down.
I became involved with the voter fraud on or about, how's that for legal reasons?
There you go.
November 10th of 2020, I was asked by members of the Arizona legislature to coordinate the joint legislative public hearing that was held in Phoenix on November 30th. On November 30th, there was an all-day, 10-hour hearing. Excuse me. The Mayor Giuliani presented evidence, and Colonel Phil Waldron, who's a national security and cybersecurity specialist, Jenna Ellis, who's a constitutional attorney, all presented evidence along with a number of other people, and I was privileged to coordinate all aspects of that day. Beginning on November 10th, and that was my fifth joint legislative hearing I've coordinated in the last 10 years, and it's like herding cats whenever you work with elected officials. It's just really getting them all going in the same direction is really a unique thing. But all aspects of the media, security, witnesses, testimonies, the whole thing, water, I mean, whatever.
Snacks.
If it had anything to do with November 30th, it came before my desk. So that's what started. And then Mayor Giuliani inherited me with Colonel Waldron, and I went on with them advising and consulting from a political standpoint and a political intelligence standpoint. And then as Mayor Giuliani moved on, Colonel Waldron came more to the forefront, and I've stayed with him up until it was decided that he was too public and had been too aligned with the Giuliani team. And so the Arizona Senate made the decision to find another national security, cybersecurity team, and that was with the Ninjas. And that's who's, they're out of Florida. And Doug Logan is the head of that and is the head of the Arizona forensic audit that's now taking place. And I kid with Doug that he inherited me from Phil Waldron, who inherited me from Mayor Giuliani, who inherited me from the Arizona legislature. And Doug Logan is so gracious and says, no, I've adopted you. So I think that's a step up. I'm not sure. Now, I'm saying all this to get it correct for people. I'm not on the floor of the audit. I've been down on the floor, but I'm not there. I don't count the ballots. I don't do any of that. I deal with political consulting and problem solving. And for the last 7 months now, since about November 10th, that's what I've done. So it's been extremely rewarding. I've been very privileged, but I'm also tired, and I'm ready to move on.
Yeah, the project that won't end.
All of a sudden at 10 o'clock at night, you get a secure call saying, we've got a problem, and can you be down here tomorrow? It's just after a while, it's just like, oh, my gosh, please stop. So that's kind of, in a very vague way, what I've done for the last 7 months. It's given me a great behind-the-scenes look at things, and just again, for the record, there may be some things I can't answer just yet. I can't discuss because of national security or sensitivity.
Bill's ready to jump off his chair. Uh-oh.
Did I say something already?
Bill's like, please tell me he's not going to say he can't tell us stuff.
No, I can tell you more. Now,
hey, Lyle, we've got about 3 minutes till the first break. For people who, because there is people listening that are going, Arizona audit, why Arizona? I know one thing that I didn't know before. I learned from your podcast there at Prescott E-News, and that is that Maricopa County is the fourth largest county in the country. So, correct. I mean, I think we don't think about who's got the most people, you know, whose county is the most populated. But it's an extremely populated county, and that's what makes this such a big deal. But can you give people any insight into why this started in Arizona instead of, like, I don't know, Georgia, Philadelphia, someplace else?
I can. Representative Mark Fincham, who's also been on the show with you and me, Representative Fincham found out that there were serious fraud allegations on the day after the election. A number of affidavits came forward very quickly, and what happened then was that he took what was going on and shared that we have enough probable cause here to look into the allegations. He went to court, and the courts allowed a simple ballot of 100 ballots randomly chosen to look at. And 6% of them were then considered highly unlikely matched. What that meant was that there was a potential for 199,000 fraudulent ballots in Arizona. So with those probable cause issues, what was launched then was the joint legislative hearing to look into this, and since Mayor Giuliani had already started this process, he was contacted, and very quickly Arizona was chosen as the first state to really look into this. Secondly, it's because Arizona was the first state that had multiple legislators, Senate, House members willing to come forward and have a public hearing. Since that time, we have 8 states that are now, clearly they've watched Arizona, and they're now in line. And we can talk about that after the break.
Okay, cool. Right on target there. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. You can find everything about the program and past shows and a lot of the lead-in to this at wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them when they move into your neighborhood? They take over, but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them?
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart.
Not too much fanfare for coming back, huh?
No, here you go.
Didn't oversell it, did we?
Hey, Lyle, one of the things I hear from people is, well, there's always going to be a certain amount of fraud, and in this case, yeah, there was fraud, but it wasn't really enough to change the results. With what you're saying, with 199,000 possible fraudulent votes, would that have been enough to change the results?
Well, I'm going to use in quotes here, the official, that's in quotes, Biden won by 10,459 votes in the state of Arizona.
Yeah.
So 199,000 is mostly enough to change the rotation of the earth.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
The way we know.
And Maricopa County was chosen because it was the fourth largest county in the nation, but also in Arizona, two other counties had the same type of problems, and that was Pima, which is Tucson, and Coconino. So we have three counties in Arizona, but Maricopa is the largest, and clearly what was presented to then to Mark Fincham, Representative Fincham, was affidavits outlining the serious but specifics of alleged voter fraud. That was enough to go to court and asked for a sample count. The court allowed 100 ballots randomly chosen, and from that 100 ballots, 6% of those were found to be fraudulent. So if you add that 6% across the county, keeping with that number, yes, you've got a very, very serious problem on your hands. Well, then, what that did is it created enough talk to begin to look into this last election. And what we found rather quickly was that the machines had been altered in such a way that when a person went to go vote, the vote was sent to Biden instead of Trump, or a vote was taken away from Trump and not only given to Biden, but then added to. So that's where we came up with fractionalized voting. So what ended up happening is if you and Bill were running for king of this, of your area, and I wanted to vote for Bill because Bill pays me a little bit more than Aaron does, I get $1.85 when Bill pays me an hour per show.
Proud of it, too.
Anyway, yeah, thanks, Bill. Anyway, I go vote for Bill. Not only did my one vote not go to Bill, and it went to Aaron, but what the machinery did is it added a 0.4 to Aaron. So Aaron got 1.4 votes every vote that came her way. Well, I don't know how you get a 0.4.
Yeah.
The other thing that happened was when they shut the voting down across the country at different time zones at like 11 or 12 o'clock, you'll remember in one state there was a water problem, flood, pipe broke.
Oh, yeah, supposedly.
Yeah, but that was a lie. And there were other lies where they shut down systematically these voting precincts. When they reopened, all the votes were different. Well, what we've learned through evidence, not opinion, is that they either brought in ballots to make up the difference for Biden over Trump, or they went ahead and then began to do the work cyberly to do the point forward and to change the votes that way. So when the voting stopped, Trump may have been ahead, let's say, by 10,000. I'm just picking this as an example. That's all I'm doing. By 10,000, but at 6 o'clock the next morning when they reopened the counting, Biden was ahead by 100,000. How can that happen?
Yeah, exactly.
And we have that on several states. The other thing is, for fact, not opinion, 16 states have been impacted by all of this. Arizona plus 15 additional states. The same pattern has happened in all 16 states. So as all of this began to unfold, we saw what clearly appeared to be collusion and also fraud of a magnitude never known before. In any election, you're going to get somebody who's deceased who ends up voting on the voting rolls. That happens. There's certain percentages, small percentages. Or a person moves and they get two ballots, but it's usually checked. But even when it's checked more thoroughly than this last election, there's still mistakes made. That's not what we're referring to here. We're referring to very significant fraud, very significant collusion to alter the very basic integrity of our system. And that has already, if you go back to Arizona today, my last couple of shows with Colonel Waldron, what he and I begin to do is open the curtain and begin to share with people the evidence, not the opinions and the hypotheses, but the evidence that's been gathered, and we begin to share it. Again, for the record, there are certain things that can't be discussed just yet for national security and sensitivity reasons, but it will come out. I can say that. I've said it on my show. I've said it here. It will come out. People just have to be a bit more patient. So the audit is ongoing. There's been serious multiple attempts to stop it, but it starts on again tomorrow. There's been a week hiatus that was planned. People are panicked over things. Again, stuff is written that's just totally theatrical. It was planned. We knew it would stop for a week. That's given a week's time for the audit team to make some corrections, to fine-tune what's taking place, and it starts again tomorrow. It'll probably take another 3 weeks. They've had to go through 2.1 million ballots for just Maricopa County.
Wow.
So it's a massive undertaking. And there's been mistakes made, but as I pointed out on the show, and Colonel Waldron has, Mayor Giuliani, who's been on my show, also has, Senator Borelli, who has really led the fight here in Arizona for the Senate. This has never been done before anywhere in the nation. So other states have really clearly been watching Arizona. They've learned from what we've done. They've learned some things that they shouldn't do. And we're very excited that we could be a style setter, if you will allow me that.
Well, tell me this, because, you know, when people hear that you're recounting the actual ballots, I think a lot of the focus has been on the electronic side of it. But everyone assumes that if you're counting physical ballots, it'll come out like it did before. So how would recounting them now, or what process, I guess, is happening now?
Yeah, because if there was a bunch of fraudulent ballots cast, then, yeah, the count's going to come out pretty close to
and
what
you can't match
got.
Who was dead and who was double voted and all that. So maybe give people a little insight into that whole physical ballot situation there.
14,362 dead people voted, and we have their names, addresses, the date of their death, when they were buried, all of that. So that's one thing that was already presented to the Arizona Senate and the Arizona House as part of the probable cause to go ahead and commence this audit.
And 14,000 was enough, again, to flip it, because Biden won by what, 10?
10,000. So that was one element in a series of elements of evidence that was presented in a closed-door hearing to the leadership of the Senate and the House. I was in that hearing. Mayor Giuliani and Colonel Waldron and Jenna Ellis all presented evidence. Now, there was evidence that was presented the day before on November 30th, but I will tell you there was additional evidence that was not presented that day but was presented in a closed setting to the leadership. Likewise, the Senate and the House leadership had been briefed by the president himself. President Trump had contacted them on a joint secure call twice. The vice president, then Vice President Mike Pence, contacted them on a secure call twice, and Mayor Giuliani had contacted them on a secure call once. So prior to the November 30th hearing, they'd already received five briefings. In those briefings were very specific articles of evidence, not opinions, not hypotheses, not theories. I can't discuss that right now. It will be discussed. It will No, it shall be presented, but I can't right now.
Okay,
but
so
tell you is,
oh, I'm sorry.
What I can also tell you is that going back to Bill's question, evidence was presented showing how ballots were submitted that were fraudulent. The paper, the markings were different than the official ballots. I can't get into that right now.
All but right. There is a way to tell that.
There is a way to tell it. It's already been told. There's also a way to tell that the machinery had been altered. The machinery have been scanned 2 weeks ago. The machines are already back in Maricopa County. They're not with the cyber ninjas. They're not at the Coliseum. They've already been scanned. They were scanned and sent back. And I'm not a cyber person. Claire knows this. Everybody knows this. Everybody knows this. So everybody just kind of gives Dr. Lyle a little latitude here when I use a word, and they go, that's not the word, but we know what he's saying. So I'm just saying that for the record. Claire, what is it they put into the machine? A little...
It's called a NIC. It's a network interface card. Is that what you're talking about? The one that shows
they do
all
that.
Of
yeah,
the
they
IP
do that, yeah.
addresses with which it would be in contact?
That's it. That's, yeah, what Claire says.
A NIC. N-I-C.
Yeah, they put that in. They've already scanned the machines and the tabulators. They then released the machines and the tabulators and sent them back.
So if we saw there was something that came out. Yeah, there's track of where I see this stuff. But there was a whole big thing about how the machines had been erased. Is that real? Not by you guys, but like that the bad guys had erased the machines or wiped out all the data.
Machines were tampered with.
Didn't it turn out that the database that contained the information for that election in Maricopa County had been removed from the file folder into which it previously had been and should have remained, and it was removed, but they were still able to recover it? That's what I read.
That's correct.
How awkward for them.
And see that's my next question is, I mean, we're waxing over 7 months since the election. We still don't have answers, and I'm kind of curious, why is it taking so long to present the evidence we have to the public? I mean, people are frustrated. It's gone on so long that I think people are going to say, hey, you know what? They've had 7 months to change all this and make it all work out. So nothing's going to happen
way
now
to
because they've changed it all.
We have to channel the contraries,
covered,
Bill.
Yeah, they've covered their ASSs and now it's too late. Is that possible?
No.
Okay. All right, I'm just going hysterical here.
Classic. He's channeling the hysterical. That was Bill's job today.
It took long because initially the Arizona Senate, who has the authority to do this, did not think they had the authority. And so they had to be briefed. They had to be taught their constitutional authority. This has never been done in the United States before. So it's not like people knew. So once they had been properly educated constitutionally, then that same process had to be done with the courts, with the supervisors and other people. And so it was a slow process. Once it had been established that the state senate in each state has the constitutional authority to subpoena, much less review, any election, and they have the authority and the power to enforce their authority. In this case, the state senate has the authority and the power to arrest anyone who interferes or is alleged to have interfered or does not allow for the proper review of an election. All of that had to be taught, and once it was taught, it had to be validated. And once it was validated, then what we began to see was balking. They have done everything they can except throw the kitchen sink into this to slow it down or to derail it. Even so much as a week or so ago, $1 million was brought in to hire a group of attorneys to place an injunction on the auditing. So this has been a week by week. Every couple of days, there's always been something new to derail this audit. It's been rather daunting, to be honest with you.
Oh, On top of that,
you have RINOs, Republicans in name only, who have not supported this. And so that adds to the confusion. It does not change the authority that's been granted under the Constitution, but it adds to the confusion where the Democrats and the Marxists will say, see, even your own party does not agree with this. Again, 4 out of the 5 county supervisors are Republican in name only. They're very liberal, but they also don't agree with this. Now, what was fascinating is at one time, the county supervisors, quote unquote, did their own audit and came back and said, there's nothing here. So yes. Everything's fine. So then why are you putting up such a big stink if there's nothing there? Well, that's a question they still refuse to answer. But the people who did the audit for them are in-house people anyway and are not national security or cybersecurity specialists. So there's been one thing after another to slow this down, derail it, to try to win popular support and to undercut the authority that the Constitution provides the Senate to have. So all of that has to be factored into this.
And I would imagine that the fact that the legislature didn't know that they had that authority, I mean, I'm not really surprised at that because this hasn't really happened before. I guess for people who follow elections, there, you know, we've seen a lot of shenanigans and we probably should have had some pretty serious forensic audits in the past if it got down to it. This was just so big that it's caused everybody to look at it a different way. Let's take a really quick break and then come back so I don't have to interrupt you again. So I thought I
can interrupt.
No.
No?
I learned that from Lyle. Nope.
Nope.
Was it nope? I think it was nope.
Nope.
Going to use that all day. So here we got some good songs for the auditors. Here, throw these out to the auditors. God bless them. Go Arizona. You can find all this information at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Never know if you don't go. You'll never shine if you don't glow. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid.
And all that glitters is gold.
Only shooting stars break the mold. It's a cool place.
When they do Lyle Rupacki the musical, you can use that as your theme song.
Nice.
Hey, so we were.
I think Bill raised a point that Claire might want to jump in on.
Whoa, you're in our mind.
Well, in that, and Bill's correct. People are angry. They're more than angry. they're pretty damn livid. What am I basing this on? My show, Arizona Today, at Prescott News, has gone to 1.4 million viewers every week. The way I know that, I am not good at this, and you all know this. My editor and other people would tell me how many clicks or hits are on their platforms, and I didn't even know if that was good. Like what you like, one platform said you have, you know, Dr. Lauer, you have 275,000 hits on that. And I go, is that good? I didn't know if it was a hit or a good thing. And they go, oh my gosh, that's really good. But you know what's even better? They're on it for 60 seconds. I went, but the show is 25 minutes. Why are they only on it for 60 seconds? So everybody knows that Dr. Lyle's not. Yeah, well, they all know this stuff, Bill. I don't know
that's
this
the
stuff.
Intro.
And that's a true story, and you can talk to the editor, and she'll tell you, nope, he did say that. So anyway, that's how we know 1.3 to 1.4, and it seems to be growing. But it's on when we release it again on Prescott E! News. But then it goes to, Rumble, BitChute, and then some other site that I'm not aware of. And then I send it out to about 25 platforms across the country. So all across this nation, hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds. I'm not making it up. I'm getting ready to do a show on Arizona Today that I'm going to show all the letters. There's thousands, thousands. And the people are livid at what has happened to this nation, and especially just in the last 120 days under Biden, 150 days, they're livid. And so they're cheering on this audit. Well, with that said, that's almost like a good setup. It's almost like I've been hired. I'm aware that the people are angry that this has taken so long and they're questioning. But as I just briefly mentioned, there's been a lot of struggle, a lot of problems associated with this because people have put roadblocks up. But more to the point, if this is not resolved, I think there will be civil unrest, and that's something that Claire Mayer may not agree with, but she can speak into.
Well, I certainly take your point, Lyle. And, you know, for people who follow social media you know, lots of entries, not necessarily official news sites, but blog sites, social media, there is exactly what Lyle just said. There is a fury and an anger across America because this has never happened before. We've had all kinds of division in this country. Goodness knows the Civil War. You know, many, many other trials and crises in this country. But we've never, ever had the bedrock of our constitutional republic, which is a free and fair election, questioned, challenged at this level of at least purported evidence that's been displayed now for many months. You know, I'll go back, you know, to some of these legislative hearings, for example, in Arizona that Lyle was at. This is the thing in this modern age of you know, social media, yes, but the technology, you know, the cell phones, the ever-present screens in front of people's eyes, this kind of information is widespread. It's not something hidden or unknown. People know this stuff. In a way that was not possible before this technological age. And that's how it has spread, and that's how the anger has spread, because the more they see, the more they read, the more of these signed and sworn affidavit witnesses raise their right hand, the angrier Americans get. Because this is a direct challenge to the legitimacy of our constitutional republic.
And so, Can you speak a little bit more about the when we talk about technology, the machines? A lot of people are talking about how the machines were altered, and of course, you know, if one guy gets, you know, 1.5 votes, the other guy gets a half a vote. Talk to us about what we found there and how that was possible.
Lyle can probably add even more to it than this, but here's my understanding from listening to watching, like I said, these signed sworn affidavit witnesses And I did watch the hearings in front of the Arizona legislature. I think the Michigan one and the Georgia one, not the Pennsylvania one. So I didn't catch all of it. I've also watched the three, I think it is, films out now from Mike Lindell, Absolute Proof, Absolute Science, and the third is escaping me, but it was the most recent one. And from what I glean from all of those sources that I've looked at, read, and watched, there are a number of problems. One has to do with the technologies, as you say there. The technology having to do with the Dominion voting systems, the hardware and the derivative software, doesn't all have the name Dominion on it, but it is derivative of Dominion and of its software that may have begun with something called Smartmatic, for example. This hardware and the first associated software, allegedly at least, was developed with the assistance of the Cuban intelligence service in Venezuela back in 2006 when Hugo Chavez was still alive. Of course, we know he died of cancer in 2013. Nicolas Maduro has been there ever since. But this hardware and this derivative software was first developed to keep Hugo Chavez in office. And apparently it worked pretty well, at least up until his demise. Worked for Nicolas Maduro ever since. That hardware and much of the software subsequently was brought into the United States and sold to states by way of secretaries of states all over the United States. I mean, dozens. Not every single state, but many dozens. And the software does things, at least allegedly, and according to the manual, the user's manual for Dominion software, it actually features a feature that allows votes to be, for one thing, rejected as they go through a tabulator at a certain rate, and that can be set in the machine. And what that would do and has done in many states of this 2020 election was kick out a bunch of votes, a bunch of ballots that then had to be quote-unquote adjudicated by a human being.
And what would be the criteria for that? I mean, that seems kind of silly to have.
The criteria was simply preset into the machinery. Typically, a kick-out rate would be very, very low. I mean, 1% or less of all votes would be kicked out for some anomaly of the ballot, the paper, the marking, the whatever.
Okay.
But this machine or these machines could be set for a rejection rate as high, I've seen, as 68%. Astronomical, off the charts, unreal.
And wouldn't that
and
kick
the
out
human
the
human adjudicator steps in, and that human adjudicator can do whatever that person wants with that vote.
But that kick-out rate doesn't necessarily have anything to do with party, does it?
Not necessarily. The party part, if you will, comes in with the human adjudicator who has complete access and control over deciding for whom, for which candidate, that ballot really should have been marked were it not for the anomaly or the stray pencil mark or whatever.
Oh, okay.
They can decide whatever they want.
Nice.
And they did. So that's one thing. Another thing is something that I heard described at a couple of the legislative hearings, and that's something called fractional race. This is called the fractional race theory?
Yes.
Or fractional race vote?
Yes. Fractional rate tabulations, that's correct.
Okay, and what that means is this crazy wacko system of counting votes in fractions. Instead of saying, you know, Lyle and Aaron and Bill and I, and we all go to vote, and my vote is one, Lyle's is two, Aaron's is three, and Bill's is four. And, you know, two of us vote for one candidate, two vote for the other, and that tabs up as two for candidate A, two for candidate B. That's what's supposed to be, right? Mm-hmm. Well, no, not with this, absolutely insane system. It's what I heard you refer to just a bit ago, where votes can be tabulated as, let's say, my vote, my one vote, can go into the machine, the tabulator, and with the Dominion software and derivative thereof, it can be counted as, my vote can be counted as a 0.75 for candidate A, and that extra quarter, that extra 25%, well, that can go over to, Charlie over there who voted for candidate B, and instead of candidate B getting one vote by Charlie, Charlie's vote for candidate B now counts as 1.25. And you multiply that by millions upon millions, and you can see where discrepancies come in.
And so I guess where I'm a little confused here is, why would you have a feature like that built into it?
For cheating.
And they didn't know that was built in prior to taking on these machines?
It was built for Hugo Chavez in Venezuela by the Cuban intelligence services and Venezuelan intelligence people.
Okay.
Let me jump in. Do we have a few minutes before commercial or not?
We do. And I just want to make sure, because I have a question that came in on text. And he was asking, because the machines have a chip, does that make it possible to manipulate the machine? And I'm assuming that he's thinking manipulate the machine from maybe outside? Or is all this programmed
not
in prior?
Okay, it's not through the NIC, the network interface card that I was talking about, if that's what they're referring to. That cannot be manipulated, no. And that records all the URL, IP addresses,
right.
That machine has been connected with back to whenever. But if you mean chip, as in a computer, then, that can be messed with.
I will also go further.
Especially when it has an internet connection.
Right, okay.
Which these did.
Okay, I'll go further. Everything that Claire has just shared is true. Secondly, it was given to me in January. Going back to a question Bill asked, why has it taken a long time? We've never been down this road before, and this has been a very sophisticated operation, multiple dimensions of sophistication. And while there was a tremendous amount of evidence, preliminary evidence, prima facie evidence, and up to probable cause evidence submitted on November 30th and then subsequently, there were still a lot of questions that could not be answered, did not have the answers, were not able to attach A to B, B to C. The end of January, a legislator received a phone call from out of state, and this person said, do you know Dr. Lyle on his show? Because I've been watching his show, and he needs to have this evidence that I have. The legislator said, I've known him for years, and that legislator said, I will talk to him. Well, when that legislator called me, I said, you deal with it. At that point in time, I was so overwhelmed. And I had so many people giving me so much information on how to do the computers, how to do this, if they only do that. It was just overwhelming. That legislator went back to that person, and that person gave them a couple of pieces of information, to which the legislator then returned another call to me and said this and this. So I called this individual, and I swore, before you go any further, you prepare to give me your name, your date of birth, your Social Security number, and your residence, because I will do a full background check on you. Are you okay with that? He said, absolutely. He gave me all that information. Again, I said, before you say anything, I will do a full background check on you. If there's anything you're lying about, I would just as soon you hang up now. He did not. We then had an hour and a half phone call. At the conclusion of that hour and a half phone call, what I can tell you today, I can't discuss all of it, but what I can tell you is what Claire just said, we have validated. We have the IP addresses, which we didn't have before January 24th. We have the teaching manuals. We have all of the manuals that Dominion used, and they put on a program 1 year before the selection. We know which states and who in those states were sent to that program, including Maricopa County, who went, who was paid, and how they were taught to do exactly what Claire's talking about, but what we've uncovered. All of that we now have as evidence, not opinion, not affidavits, but as evidence. Affidavits, by the way, can be evidence if they're sworn and all that, notarized. But we have the actual data. We have the actual materials. We have the actual books. We have the actual training lessons, all of that. We also know that the IPs were gathered. We have the IP addresses. We have the two satellites that were employed. We know which countries put those up and how they were used with the laptops that were outside the voting polls. And so when somebody came in, again, what Claire's talking about, we put 1.4 vote or 1.5, how, you know, all of that.
Sure.
How that's all done, how that was registered, how it was changed, how the machines manipulated. We have all that. We did not have that.
Nice.
Before January 24th.
All right. There's we're going to come back and we're going to talk more about this, obviously, with Dr. Lyle Rabacki and Claire Lopez. And you can find all of this at wethepeopleradio.us.